69 episodes, 10,000 listens, countless stories, endless inspiration, and phenomenal sports people. April 20th marks 2 years to the day since the airing of our first episode. But we're not stopping here. We might be taking a pause to look back on a wonderful year on this episode, but we promise there is much more to come. Welcome to Sportspiel. Hello everyone, whether you are a long-time listener or tuning in for the first time, welcome to this special episode of Sportspiel. It's April 20th and today marks 2 years since episode 1 hit the airwaves. As we did last year, we've decided to put together a special episode to mark the occasion, look back over the past 12 months, and also tell you about our overall message that all sport matters. Joining me, as he has done from the very beginning on this show, is Mr. Will Moulton. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm currently lying in bed at midday, which is quite a nice surprise given how much I've been working recently, and can't believe we're 2 years old. Where's the time gone?
Where has the time gone? And I still look like a child. I imagine you still look exactly the same, but internally we've probably aged quite a lot throughout this entire process.
Yeah, but it's not this that's aged me, it's everything else.
You add it all together and it just becomes a bit too much. Anyway, for the listeners, coming up on this special episode, first, we will quickly be touching upon how the show has evolved since we began, before telling you just why all sport matters. After that, we will go through our highlights, our clangers, and also say some thank yous before we say goodbye on this episode. Well, listeners, if you tuned in to our first ever episode and then fast-forwarded all the way to now, you would notice some drastic changes. We don't sound heavily distorted anymore. We now have an all-new but still very green logo. And we now also have a strong back catalogue of wonderful guests and friends who have helped make this show what it is. So, my first question to throw open to you, my lovely friend, is, what do you think has been the biggest change for us as a show in that time?
I think one of our biggest changes, especially in the last year, is that we aren't just focusing on the stories of individual athletes in terms of our interviews as much anymore, but we've actually focused on schemes and we've broadened out away from sport even into things like plastic pollution and things like that by speaking to Lizzie Carr. We've been speaking to the Mintridge Foundation, had Alex Pask on, we've done mental health specials. So we're not just focusing on sport as a singularity, we're actually focusing on the wider aspects of sport as well. And I think just a lot more mature in our discussions as well.
Which had to happen at some stage. But yeah, I'd go along with that. I think we've probably developed in that no matter how good the story is, regardless of who it's from, we will tell it. If it's a good enough story, it probably deserves to get the coverage, which has kind of been our mantra, really, since we started this. Obviously, the main point of us starting this show in the first place was that we wanted to give coverage and let athletes who weren't traditionally given a vocal mouthpiece in media to actually tell their stories properly, rather than just the 2 minute, 3 minute interview video segments that you might usually get on the BBC or whatever sports media outlet it was in particular. And I like to think we've gone some way to achieving that.
Yeah, certainly. And in terms of, I know there's a couple of things we'll mention in the highlights section earlier, but this year we've also been lucky enough to be given the opportunity to have exclusive interviews with athletes and tell their stories for the first time, one of which was subsequently picked up by a national. So, I mean, people are also coming to us now wanting to tell their story, wanting to get involved. So I think, obviously, we're only 2 years old. We're still quite young in comparison to a lot of podcasts, but having come from a standing start, but we're now starting to gain traction and be able to tell some really powerful, inspirational stories.
Exactly. And long may that continue. Running through some of the countries that we have been listened to, this was quite good fun last time as we ran through the places that Sportspiel had been downloaded. Funnily enough, number one is taken up by the United Kingdom, which isn't really a surprise considering that's where we're based and where our athletes come from. 77.4% of the listens that we have had have come from here, the UK. Would you like to take a guess at what's second?
Is the US still up there? Are we still...
There we go. He's got it in one. The US is second, taking up 10% of our overall listener count. It comes from the United States of America. Number three, with 3%, is Australia. Always nice to see Australia up there. And number four is Ireland, with 1.8%. And of course, we did have Leah Lyons on, the Irish rugby star, who plays for Harlequins. Another of your wonderful Six Nations specials as well, which we'll touch upon later. Fifth, by the way, is France, and sixth is Canada. And I've also put a couple of rogue ones on there because that quite interests me. In that, Japan are 13th on the list, and South Korea are 20th on the list. So, big up all the listeners over there. But we will now move on to sort of the wider talking point here on this episode. And as you may have noticed by our social media activity, we are pushing a certain message in that all sport matters. As is no surprise, both of us are massive sports fans. We play it, we watch it, we absorb it, and we're pretty much engrossed in it all the time. But what we wanted to put across in that in this episode is that all sport, whether it's elite, amateur, niche sports, or even if it's competitive or not, all of it matters. So my question to you is, when did you first realise sport matters in the way we believe it does?
That's not an easy one to answer, because I don't know, if for me sport has always been everything. So sport has always been the most important thing in my life, and sport has always mattered to me. I guess obviously, as a lot of people will know, we are very big advocates of women's sport and getting equal coverage for so many incredible female athletes out there, not just in your more mainstream sports like football and rugby, but going very left field in terms of like paddleboarding, again with the Lizzie Carr example, or trampolining with Laura Gallagher. So for me, I guess the moment that really piqued my interest in women's sport and what said to me was that all sport mattered, whether you're male or female, was when Great Britain hockey won gold in Rio 2016. Because that was the first time I remember thinking that a women's team sport was actually dominating the headlines. Obviously, we'd had a Rugby World Cup win in 2014 and footballing success the year after in 2015. But the way that the country really got behind our female hockey players that day and the sort of the subsequent two or three days afterwards, and it was sort of the main talking point, was the moment where I thought, this is amazing, but we also need to make this a regular occurrence now. We need, basically, our female athletes deserve as much coverage as our men, because they're just as successful, they're just as good in their own fields, yet we don't give them the coverage they deserve. So just to see that, even for a couple of days, that equality of the coverage was lovely, and then that really made me want to, through my journalism and through my work, want to try and make that a regular occurrence. And now with the creation of so many fantastic outlets, including Telegraph Women's Sport most recently, but also Give Me Sport, I've got a brand new women's section, and there's so many great people out there doing great things for women's sport. So it's great to see the development. And yeah, for me, that was the moment where I realized that all sport matters in terms of gender.
Very well said. And I suppose for me, going along similar lines, but maybe looking from a purely grassroots perspective and my own personal circumstances. Obviously, for those who listened to our own mental health special episode back in May last year, and we talked about how much of an importance sport had on us, whether it's in terms of recovery or even just calming your mind. And then it was mainly at university I probably realised for the first time just how important sport was to me, because similar to you, I'd always done it whether it was football, fencing, tennis I used to play. I used to swim as well when I was younger. But just kind of always treated it as just this is sport, I enjoy it. But actually only fully realised what it helped me do, whether it's in terms of making friends, whether it's being social, escapism from whatever stresses you've got in that particular moment, whether it's exams or just, you know, family, domestic problems, who knows. And that continues even now when people are doing park runs and things. And the amount of stories I've heard, particularly with park run, of people who've turned to running for the first time and it's helped them and their mental health immensely. Even if they're not taking part in the run itself, even if they're just volunteering as marshals or race organizers, it's a brilliant way, sport in general, of getting people out and about into the outside and just away from the problems of everyday life. Obviously, as we've discovered on various topics on this podcast, whether it's corruption or Russian doping, which we've mentioned quite a lot, sport obviously does have its problems along the way as well. But by and large, we believe it's an incredibly powerful tool for good. Look at the work our former guest Stacey Copeland is doing with Pave the Way, and the work she's doing with children across the country, really, and the talk she's giving. Jack Rutter is another former guest who does exactly the same thing and uses his involvement in sport for good and to help a lot of children along the way. And of course, our recent partners, the Mintridge Foundation, and the work they're doing in schools and using athletes to get that message across to children in a way your average person probably wouldn't. So endless examples, really, but examples that sport is arguably the making of a lot of people. And if you can get them from a very early age and promote it, it has endless possibilities, really.
For me, sport and mental health have always had a funny relationship, because I've always found, or not always found, but I've often found that sport has exacerbated my mental health problems at times as well as helped. But recently, work has been quite stressful, quite full on, and I've gone back to playing football for the first time in 12 years, even just as a goalkeeper. But, you know, I've done a couple of Wednesday lunchtime sessions and I've loved it, just because I've gone back to a sport that I hadn't played in so long. I'm playing with my mates and my work colleagues. It's just a bit of fun, a little bit of competitiveness, obviously, and always disappointed when I concede goals. But I'll say most of them aren't my fault. Most of them are just great finishes. But that's just such a good stress reliever for me at the moment. And the examples we had on the show back during our mental health specials and with subsequent guests as well, such as Laura Gallagher, how she's managed to turn her life around in trampolining. Remy Allen, how she uses football as an escape for other things that are going on in her life. Football is a great sport is a great tool for looking after your mental health, and it is something that is accessible to everyone.
Spot on. And likewise, the promotion of it, whether it's on TV, particularly free to air TV as well. We saw the Women's FA Cup semi-finals both on the BBC. The Chelsea Man City game was moved to BBC One because of the demand, and then the West Ham Reading game as well was available on the red button and also on iPlayer. But by making it accessible in that way, not just football either, just all different disciplines, men's and women's sport, make it more visible to people, and it can do the world of good for society and for people who might need a direction to change. So that is our overall positive message on this podcast episode about why all sport matters, and we'll be continuously pushing that through various projects we've got in the pipeline in the next few months. More is to come after this very short break. You're listening to Sportspiel, available on Audioboom, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now to the clangers of the year, of which there have been a few. You've obviously got to make some mistakes along the way, particularly when you've been doing a show for as long as we have now. Obviously a lot to cram in 2 years, but we're just going to look back over the last 12 months and we'll go back and forth and have a little reminiscing moment about the bloopers of the year, if you like. Would you like to kick off with arguably one of our favourite mishaps while we were recording.
Yes, so listeners of episode 23 might remember there was... it wasn't our smoothest episode, we'll say it that, like that, because there were a few sort of... We had to put in a few sort of jump cuts and things like that, because we gained a sort of fan, a spectator who liked to interrupt and talk to us and try and spread his message of peace and love, which is a fantastic message, one obviously we both agree with, but not while we're recording a podcast. So... We never actually got this guy's name. He introduced himself as Prince Daniel and Luther and Jebra Selassie. So we're never quite sure of his actual name. But yeah, he had some good messages. And he tried to engage in our chat about the restructuring of the WSL. But it wasn't quite broadcastable. And I just remember initially I was getting quite frustrated by the constant interruptions. And then I got past the point and I just found it funny. But then Alistair started getting frustrated. Yeah. And then after we were, while we were packing up, security then decided it was okay for them to come over and ask if he was interrupting, not while he was actually doing it.
Yeah, which was perfect timing from the security standpoint. I think if you do listen carefully to that episode, there's only so much editing I can do, but you can actually hear him shouting brothers in the background, brothers being us, trying to get our attention to get his next point across. But yeah, he obviously had a lot of lovely messages, just not really relevant to the points that we were trying to make at that stage, particularly when we're trying to make something broadcastable. And that was one of the harder editing jobs I've certainly had to do.
It was one of the harder recording jobs.
That as well. In terms of recording, it was a very stop start, I think, is the best way we can put it. Yeah. But we haven't seen him since, so who knows where he is now. I'm sure he's making a lot more friends. Moving on then to my second, or our second, clanger of the year. This one goes back to the summer when the entire country was engrossed in football World Cup fever, and we decided to combine our recording session with a bit of a day of sporting viewing as well. We decided to meet in Stratford to record what I now call the lost episode, the lost episode 25, because the episode that is currently a special hockey episode with Catherine Lane should have been episode 25. So we recorded a discussion section in Stratford, with the idea being that we'd record that in the blistering heat in the park, and then we went off to watch England beat Sweden in the World Cup on a big screen in Stratford. And we then followed that up by going to the Netball Super League Grand Finals, which we had tickets for, which was at the Copper Box in Stratford, which was why we obviously went there to record and do everything. However, lovely day, lovely recording session, a lot of memories, good memories from that day. But for some reason, everything we recorded got wiped while I was editing it and disappeared into the atmosphere, partly... probably down to IT issues, because about 2 days afterwards, the computer that we'd been using from the very start died and has remained dead ever since. So the episode that never was, essentially, which is quite disappointing because I like to think we made a lot of good points on that discussion section, but sadly, no one will ever hear it.
Well, that discussion section did include chat about tennis, which I think we then included in the discussion section of our next episode, so people didn't miss out on too much.
Yeah, it's never quite the same when you do it a second time around after you've done it a week before for the first time. And I think I tried to put, because I think we talked about sexism in women's football as well, off the back of women's commentators at the World Cup, and various prehistoric views that were aired on various outlets, which I think I... tried to put as much of what we'd said into written form and published on our website as a result of the lost episode. So needless to say, that has not happened ever again. And henceforth, we always, always, always edit in a separate file to what we recorded in. So a lesson learned there for everyone as well.
I just remember getting home and opening up Facebook Messenger and just seeing a long message from Alistair that contained repetitions of the same words that began with F.
We can't say what word that is.
Yeah, I don't think I need to say what word that is.
But obviously anyone who works, I suppose, in media or the journalism industry, whenever you've been working for a considerable amount of time on a project, whether it's an article, a feature, something audible, whatever, and it goes, that's probably the word most of us would use. So, lesson learned for everyone.
The good thing about those things, though, is that they're quite easy to hide, unlike my next clanger, which wasn't so easy to hide, which was when I lost my voice. During recording only a couple of months or so ago, and I think we were doing the news roundup, and on my first piece, I couldn't get through the 2 minutes because my voice just disappeared due to a cough. And it was highly embarrassing, but also quite funny at the same time. But in terms of actual on-air clangers, we haven't had too many, have we?
Not too many. There's been a few occasions when, I think I remember when we recorded outside, and whether it was brain freeze because it was quite cold, whether it was just getting to our heads, and both you and me kept tripping over our words for some unknown reason a lot more frequently than we usually do.
That was definitely because it was cold.
I like to think that was the case. But again, power of editing, we can get rid of all of that and make us sound a lot more professional than we actually are.
And then in terms of interviews as well, I've had a couple of hairy moments. So when I spoke to Natalie Jackson as part of the C-Sporty, B-Sporty episode, we'd stopped the interview, but I was still recording. And about 2 minutes after, her baby decides to wake up and screams the place down. And I just remember thinking, A, I didn't realise she was in the car with her baby, and B, I was very grateful that didn't happen during the interview, because that could have been quite awkward.
Just a little bit. No one really wants to hear that when they're trying to listen about a positive campaign, like the one Natalie Jackson was reading, See Sporty, Be Sporty. And there were some animal-based problems we've had interview-wise as well. I know the one I did with Amy Alcock, before we actually pressed go, or the big red record button, she had to move locations twice in her house. So we decided to Skype that interview, and her dog decided that he wants to be a part of it early doors. So she eventually had to move rooms so that the dog wouldn't have a cameo appearance on the podcast episode.
Yes, I had the same issue when I spoke to Laura Gallagher. We started the interview, we got about a minute or so in, and her dog just decided to have a go at the postman as he was putting letters through the door. So she then had to go and put him in a separate room. But then obviously that interview was a special one. So I think we got away with it.
Exactly. And for those listening to us right now, I'm obviously at home, you're at home. We're recording this remotely for practicality reasons, but I've also had to shut away the two cats that are in my flat because one of them was meowing at the door ridiculously loudly. So I've fed them now and locked them away in the living room so that they can calm down a little bit and don't interrupt our recording session, which is always nice.
Never work with animals.
Always the number one rule in broadcast. Cool, and with that we will move on then to the more positive section, if you like. Not that the clangers weren't fun anyway, but we come on now to the highlights from the past 12 months, and I think it's fair to say we have quite a few. So, as before, we'll go back and forth and look over them, and I'll kick off with one that we obviously both have down, and that's the mental health specials that we obviously ran every day throughout Mental Health Awareness Week. We had 6 episodes in total, 5 guests plus ourselves. We had Ruth Fox, Chloe Bellaby, Sarah Williams, Sophia Ellis and Shona McCallan, and then our own episode with the two of us, where we talked about our own mental health battles, if you like, for really the first time we talked about it. But it was another week of specials that went down incredibly well with the listeners, and I think we both got a real sense of accomplishment, achievement out of that, and putting those positive messages across from our fantastic guests.
Yeah, we certainly did. Obviously, myself, I only conducted the one interview with Shona, but getting her perspective on the athlete view of social media and how it affects them was really interesting. And then obviously listening to Sophia, to Chloe, to Ruth, to Sarah, sharing their experiences was very powerful. Obviously, we do keep up to date with them a lot and see how they're going. And it's been a tough time for Ruth and for Chloe, but the way that they keep going and they keep spreading their messages and they keep positive is really inspirational. And it's great to just to see them continuing to inspire so many and to keep the debate about mental health going, because it's one that, you know, we should still be talking about, because mental health is not just an issue in sport, but it's an issue in society. And it's one that we're still not overly educated on. And we need amazing people like them to just keep talking about it, keep getting the messages out there, and they're doing incredible things.
Exactly. When you look at all the positive things, you mentioned Ruth and Chloe there, that they had been doing at such a young age as well. And now seeing them today and have them looking at them having to cope with the hurdles that they have to at the moment, but they're still continuing, still plugging on and still doing very valuable work. So can only appreciate and admire the pair of them even more, as well as all the other guests that we had on during that week of specials. And inherently, mental health, when you look at the episode we did with Laura Gallagher and the episodes we've done with Remy Allen recently, has kind of become a little bit of a backdrop message of our podcast as well. So, well, it's obviously a talking point that needs to keep getting raised. Like you said, it's an issue in society. And we'll try and use this platform wherever we can to push it and just how important it is to talk about the issue in the first place.
Certainly. And I guess you mentioned Remy and Laura there, and they're sort of my next highlights in terms of my favourite interviews that I've conducted this year. And I mean, I've enjoyed every single interview I've done. They've all been different. They've all been varied. There's been a wide variety of topics. But I remember with Remy, just it had been a bad day. I'd had a pretty stressful day at work. I just found out that I got through to the final four of a job that I really, really wanted. I found out that day that I hadn't been offered the job, and the reasoning was poor, to say the least. There wasn't any reasoning other than we had to pick someone out of the four of you. So remember not being in the greatest of places going down to the interview. But I just remember meeting Remy, and we'd been chatting a little bit on social media before, and she'd said she'd love to do an interview. And I remember just immediately clicking with her. Just we sat down, we chatted for about 10 minutes before the interview started, and immediately I just felt like I understood where she was coming from and the way she interacted and stuff. And subsequently we recorded a 45-minute long interview. I did not intend to be recording for that long, but it just sort of happened. And yeah, the messages she got across there about, you know, the state of the women's game and, you know, dealing with men who clearly have an issue with women being better at sport than them. Mental health as well, she talks so eloquently, so brilliantly about. And also the discussion around sort of female coaches in sport and stuff as well, I thought was really insightful, and what things are like at Reading and, you know, how things can improve. And yeah, she was a brilliant guest. And I remember afterwards saying to her, have you had much media training or stuff before? Because she was word perfect almost. And she said she hadn't had too much. And it was just, she was just very, very natural sitting down and chatting on a podcast. And yeah, as we've mentioned previously, we've got plans to bring Remy back on the show. She's keen. So yeah, can't wait to have her back on.
Exactly. And there are those interviews where it just automatically clicks and your interview subject and interviewee rather is just a natural at getting their point across. And it's just so engaging and so wonderful to get to sit down and listen to them. And I know that was something you had with Laura Gallagher as well, which is your next highlight.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever done an interview as rewarding, as powerful as the one I did with Laura. So Laura got in contact with us, actually said, you know, I think she'd listened to a couple of episodes, and she said she she wanted to help out with the show. And at the moment, she's a little bit too busy. She's got Olympic qualifiers and World Cup events, and she's got a university degree to finish. But she is planning on being involved in the show in terms of presenting or interviewing and stuff in the future, which is great. But we thought when she contacted us, you know, why not interview her? Let's get her story out there. And I remember researching for that interview, and there wasn't a lot of stuff out there about her, to be honest. It was quite difficult to find something, but I'd seen that she'd taken a break from the sport around sort of Rio time when she hadn't qualified, and I'd seen that she'd had injury problems and then come back in 2017 and won her first British Championship. So I thought, well, that's quite a nice line. Let's just see what comes of that. And I wasn't expecting too much. And I remember putting the question to her, and I didn't speak again for 11 minutes because she just went on this incredible monologue of her story and how bad things had been. And I just remember sitting in the office at work just dumbfounded because, you know, I had no... Normally when you speak to an athlete, you know roughly what's coming. But this was one of those rare occasions where I had absolutely no idea that this was coming. And it was the first time she'd publicly spoken in such detail about her struggles. And there's a couple of moments in the episode where she says, oh, I can't believe I'm saying this, it's so embarrassing and stuff like that. And you can hear initially at the start of the interview the nervousness in her voice. But then once she gets going, it's again, just very natural to her. And yeah, being able to share that story and to see how well it's gone down, how many people have listened to it and shared it across, you know, both the podcast and the 52, where I did a write-up of it as well. And yeah, what an inspirational woman. And, you know, to have gone what she's gone through and to have come out the other side. And, you know, things aren't perfect. We had a good 15-minute chat actually once the recording had stopped about, you know, how she struggles a lot with other mental health things that we didn't necessarily bring up in the interview. And I ended up actually having to give her a little bit of advice and stuff like that, which is quite strange. But yeah, to see where she's been and now where she is, you know, competing on the international stage again, winning medals at World, Europeans, British Championships, a genuinely incredible woman. And I don't think I have as much respect for any athlete out there at the moment as I currently do for her, because, yeah, it was just so special to interview her.
It really was a special, special listen. And if memory serves me right, it's our third most listened to episode of the past 12 months. So shows you just how much of an impact that has had on the listeners out there as well. And it was wonderfully told from the woman herself. In terms of interview highlights, I've obviously got a few as well. Number one, I think we can both appreciate, was our 50th episode special guest, and that was Elise Christie. Getting Elise on the podcast in the first place, obviously she's a massive name, hugely talented at her sport, 2017 world champion, and obviously everyone is familiar with her story, not necessarily the world champion side of things and the success side of things, but it's the Olympic Games story that has arguably captivated people, whether you're involved with speed skating or not involved with speed skating, because we're all familiar with the story of 2014 where it all went wrong, and then there was the social media abuse that followed, but also what happened at 2018 in Pyeongchang, where there was so much promise yet again, and once more she failed to get the medal that she really, really wants through just unbelievable amounts of bad luck, whatever, and then injury followed as well. One of the most engaging athletes I think I've ever had the pleasure of talking to. The interview itself ended up being about an hour or over an hour because I had to cut some of it. But she's just not your regular media trained type of athlete. You can actually have a really wonderful conversation with her, and her full personality always comes out, whether she's talking on the TV or in print. You can always get that sense of the goofball that she declares herself to be. And I mean, we covered a lot in that interview on the podcast, whether it was the social media abuse, what happened at the Olympics, her pathway to becoming world champion as well. But we also got a lot of the personal stuff in there as well about what it was like to be part of that team, obviously Charlotte Gilmartin, a friend and a former teammate, has been on this podcast twice before, so we got a lot about the relationship between the two, because they are both really, really good friends. And then just the everyday stories as well, where she was cycling and someone decided to hurl abuse at her from a car window, really shows just how much of an impact that has on an everyday level when you have to live out these so-called failures, although I wouldn't really call them failures, in the public eye, and then people obviously form their own opinions. But personally, one of my favourite ever interviews I've conducted, and again, one of our most well-received episodes that we've ever conducted. So again, thank you to her and her agent and her team for setting that up in the first place, because when we are a not-for-profit podcast, after all, it can be difficult to get people to say yes to things like that, this, and right from the get-go, her and her team were very keen for this to happen. So one of our biggest highlights, I think it's fair to say, over the past 12 months, not to mention it being our 50th episode as well.
Yeah, what a coup that was. And I remember listening to that episode and it didn't feel like an hour, because the connection and the chemistry between you was so good and she was so engaging that, you know, I thought I'd only been listening for 20 minutes and the episode was over, and it turned out to be an hour long, and I was like, phew. It was a brilliant interview, and massive congratulations to you for pulling that off.
Yeah, thank you. A lot of emails going back and forth. One other one I want to bring up as well is Beth Dobbin's interview, because we managed to get in touch with her about 2 weeks after she initially broke the Scottish 200-meter record, and obviously got this huge backstory about how well she'd obviously been doing in her sport, considering she wasn't funded at the time. She'd been working two part-time jobs at the time as well, and was at university. But there's also the epilepsy side of things that she has to deal with, which she hadn't really talked about in great depth before. We obviously knew it. It was something that was, I think, posted on her website, which is why I brought it up in the first place. But she hadn't ever talked about how much of an impact that had had on her before when she was growing up. And then she talked about this huge seizure that she'd had while she was younger that ultimately nearly killed her. And or at least she thought that might be the end of it when it actually happened. That became arguably the biggest talking point of that interview. And we know the BBC ended up hearing that and then running their own article and video on her battle with epilepsy as well. But obviously the great thing for us to see, and probably why, again, that episode's done so well, is that her trajectory, career-wise, since she spoke to us, has just taken off to the next level. I mean, she broke the record, the 200 meters Scottish record again, her own record, just a few weeks afterwards. And now she's a funded athlete and is one of the athletes to watch in this year, because her performance levels, particularly now that she's got the funding backing as well, have just gone to the next level. And she's now a highly talked about name, and is no stranger in the world of athletics anymore. So obviously for us, it was great to kind of get there first and tell the ultimate story first. And it also means people can always come back our way if they need to find out more about an athlete who is ultimately a very, very nice person as well.
Yeah, that was a point I was going to make, in that, you know, we are unashamedly going to shout about her quite a bit, but she's always engaging. She always says thank you. She always, you know, spreads the message. And clearly what I found when I wrote a piece on her based on your interview for the 52 is that she's got a massive fan base who really care about her, and they really appreciate the work that you did getting that interview and, you know, sharing her story. And yeah, she's got such a nice personality as well. From, obviously I've only listened to the interview, but she just seems so nice, so engaging, so genuine. She's one of those athletes that you just want to do well because of just how friendly she is and her incredible story.
Exactly. And one more interview I'll briefly touch upon. Again, comes down to connection, comes down to what we got from the interview as well. But Emily Glanville, who was essentially the first motor racing guest we've ever had on, and it's not a world I'm totally familiar with, so obviously there had to be a fair amount of research on my part. But the way she spoke about why she enjoyed her sport so much, the role that women have in the sport, her opinions on the W Series, which has obviously become a big talking point, and again, it comes down to the fact that she is ultimately a very, very nice person. That's why that interview came across so well. And once you press stop on the record, and you've finished your chat with them, you always get that feeling where something is really, really special, where that conversation has been really, really special. And again, that was the case there. And great to see that she's also been introduced to podcasts. If you saw her tweet in the last couple of weeks, where I think she was driving down to a race meet and had us on her car radio through her phone. So nice to know that she's still a fan of the show and is spreading the word, which obviously helps people find us when we're scrambling away doing this for nothing. So big shout out to Emily Glanville as well.
Certainly so. And I guess another interview that stands out for me was Tamara Taylor. Obviously an incredible name in women's rugby, you know. I think the second most capped England women's player of all time. I think third or fourth most capped overall England player. So to get her on the show was, again, a huge coup. And we had a really great chat about a whole variety of things, including the challenge she is now currently undertaking as we record on Everest, climbing up the mountain to play the highest ever game of touch rugby. And she was just such an engaging person, just so friendly, so polite. And you have to, with people like her, you have to keep reminding themselves that actually, you have to keep reminding yourself that actually these are professional athletes you're speaking to, because they come across just as, you know, your average person. There's no real ego about them in terms of, you know, you're having an equal one-to-one chat rather than it's a journalist talking to an incredible athlete. It just feels so much more natural and easy to conduct, and therefore it's easy to listen to. So she was a fantastic guest to have on, and it's great to see her continuing to do fantastic things on and off the pitch. And then that also leads on to the Women's Six Nations specials that we ran this year in conjunction with K2 and the 52. That was a lot of stress, I'm not going to lie. I don't know if we've said this before, but actually the initial plan was to have all of the episodes released in the lead up to the tournament. That didn't quite pan out for various reasons, but actually it worked quite nicely being able to, you know, preview the tournament with the England players. Being able to sit down with five of them at one go was quite intimidating. I'm not going to lie, because, you know, it's not very often you do an interview with more than one person at any one time. So to be interviewing five players, all of whom would quite easily defeat me in an arm wrestle, was quite intimidating. But they were all lovely, and it was just a shame I didn't have longer with them. But obviously it was a very busy time for them. So obviously big thanks to England Rugby for squeezing them into the schedule. And then as the tournament went on, we spoke to Leah Lyons of Ireland and Jade Conkle of Scotland, and they were brilliant to speak to. Again, same as Tamara, you forget when you're interviewing them that these guys are elite athletes, because they're so naturally comfortable with you and they're so open. And we got to talk on some great topics that, you know, you might not always get to do with certain athletes. So we talked with Leah Lyons about body shaming and how she feels about that, and the 20 by 20 movement in Ireland, and the work Quinns are doing to promote the women's game. We talked with Jade Conkle about, you know, growing up in Scotland, and actually she wasn't able to play that much rugby because there weren't women's teams. And we talked about tattoos, and we talked about her new business, and just a whole myriad of things aside from the Six Nations tournament. So yeah, that series of specials was tough to get over the line, and a lot of sort of last minute rushing and editing and frantic emails and what have you, but it certainly paid off, and it was great to see how much engagement they got. And I think this year's Six Nations proved that there is so much interest now in women's rugby, and I feel like we helped to show a little bit of that with our specials.
Exactly, and kudos to you as well for conducting those interviews and setting them up in the first place, because I know a lot of work went into it. I think one of them I ended up editing and putting together while I was in Canada as well. So that people across the world got to find out about our Six Nations specials. But yeah, a series of really intelligent, well-conducted interviews that I hope people will continue to listen, particularly as the sport of women's rugby continues to grow. I will whiz through my final few highlights, because of course time is against us. And one of the big ones for me, I suppose, was having guest hosts in the form of both Nikki Kovac, a former guest, and also Shona McAllen, again a former guest, but nice to have them sitting down with us and talking with us. And particularly with Shona, the Q&A session we did afterwards, I really, really enjoyed, and kind of makes me want to have more of that in the future, because, again, she's a brilliant speaker. We already know that, but talking about the way concussion has affected her year and what a big year it was as well for hockey, you obviously know that better than me. But to get it from her directly to us, and on video form as well, it's on our YouTube channel if people want to view it. Really, really engaging, and a lot of important points raised. But she also showcased just how good she was at presenting when it came to presenting, because I know she took part in our news roundup and our discussion section as well. So definitely more presenting on the horizon for Shona.
Certainly, and obviously I'm lucky enough to work with Shona, and I get on fairly well with her, I hope she wouldn't mind me saying. To have her back on the show and presenting was fantastic. And yeah, hopefully we can get more of her on the show as well as Nikki. I thought Nikki was a pretty impressive presenter as well, considering she'd never done it before.
Yeah, some people are just naturals at it. One more thing, well, a couple more things actually. Getting a bigger team, I think, has helped us immensely this year in terms of trying to get more content out there. We've had, obviously, Yash and Lewis have both done interviews for the podcast now. So it's not just the two of us who are going out there chasing athletes to chat to. There was also the fact that we went or got invited back to our old journalism teaching college of news associates, where we were invited to come and give a talk on podcasts of all things and tell the students there how we got into it and some little tips about what works and what doesn't work. And it's obviously nice to see that a couple of new podcast shows launched off the back of that, which we've shared occasionally on our social media page as well. So do check those out if you're ever scrolling through Twitter or Facebook. And lastly, I suppose this is the big point that you also have, is the relationships we've now formed this year. And we're obviously looking to form more as the year goes on. But firstly, our relationship with K2 and, of course, your own 52 blog, which you helped facilitate. Huge relationship that I am really looking forward to seeing how that pans out in the future. It's already given us a lot of wonderful talent to talk to, particularly as showcased by the Women's Six Nations specials. And also off the back of that, our former guest Alex Pask, who is of course the founder of the Mintridge Foundation, and we now have a very solid working relationship with the Mintridge Foundation as well, which will be bringing about a lot more content on the podcast in the months to come. And we've also been invited to a few live Q&A sessions and things that are being put on by the Mintridge Foundation as well. So do keep an eye out for that. Love what that foundation does. Love the interview that we did with Alex just before she won the Sunday Times Women's Sportswoman of the Year Award in the grassroots category. Testament to the work she and that foundation does. And I know there's a lot more to come in the future for that one.
Lots of immense talent at our hands now, thanks to these partnerships and some incredible stories we've still got to tell. So we're definitely not going anywhere. We're only going to get better, I think is the right way of phrasing that.
We've got a few thank yous to obviously send out to people before we wrap up this happy birthday episode. First off, got to thank our extended team on the podcast. Obviously, we've got Lewis Mitchie, we've got Yash, Nikki, Alex Pask, Ella German, Nicola Kenton as well, who all help contribute to the podcast. Shona, I know as well, she's obviously done the presenting at the moment, but I know she's keen to get involved even more in the future. So big thank yous to them, because like us, they do it for nothing. They do it for the love of sport, and without people putting in that time, this show and website wouldn't be what it is today.
I guess a massive thank you from me to the K2 Foundation as well for initially getting in contact and setting up those Six Nations specials. And yeah, as we mentioned before, they've got some great talent on their books. So over the next few months, hoping to make as much use of that as possible. So some more incredible female athletes. I know they've got plenty on their books, but also they've got a lot of great male athletes as well from sort of different sports as well, so hopefully we'll be able to expand our knowledge and go into sports that, you know, we've not talked about before, such as Iron Man competing and things like that. So it's a foundation that are doing great work to promote equality in sports across all areas. And yeah, like we said, we're just very excited to see where our partnership goes with them.
Definitely. Likewise, again, to the Minchish Foundation and Alex. I've already said it before, but again, excited to see where this relationship goes. And I know that their positive work will only do so much good. And from our perspective, it's great to be able to share some of that in the near future as well. Also want to put out a shout out for my good old friends at the Offside Rule podcast. So that's the podcast, of course, hosted by Kate Borsay, Lindsay Hooper and Hayley McQueen, talking about all things football. They've obviously been huge backers and supporters of us right from when we did the Winter Olympic specials as well, which is now over a year ago. So slightly stepping out of the time frame of this podcast reflection, but still huge backers with us. And we might have some stuff in the pipeline in the future in terms of collaboration with them in the future, which is always exciting. And another shout out as well to the Olympic Channel podcast, who have do a lot of the same stuff that we do in terms of their interviews. Have some amazing guests on that show, some really brilliant interview topics. And the man behind that podcast, Ed Knowles, is a huge backer of us. We've done a cross collaboration promo with him before, and he continues to be a real backer of our not-for-profit podcast, along with his own podcast, because we share a lot of the same values. So for anyone listening to us, go and check out that podcast as well, because there's some amazing guests on that. Finally, we have to thank our athlete guests who've been on the podcast both the last year and the year before that, because as we've often said, without them there is no podcast, considering that is essentially the whole premise of this show. And lastly, I suppose the people to thank are those who share the work that we do on social media. I know when Telegraph Women's Sport launched, we got a really lovely tweet that was sent out, obviously praising the introduction of the Telegraph Women's Sport section, but they said that they were joining the party along with the likes of For the Love of Sport and us. So to put in that same level as Telegraph Women's Sport, obviously a bit of an ego boost for our point of view and a motivation boost, but I will be taking that all day long. So thank you so much for that recommendation. And of course, the people who listen to the podcast, because as we have said before, if people don't listen to us, then this is entirely pointless. But thank you to the people who do. So many of you do now, and we will keep doing what we do so long as people are enjoying it, so long as we've got stories that we feel need to be told, and for as long as sport continues to be relevant, which will be forever. So we're going to be at this for quite a while to come. And with that, listeners, thank you so much for tuning into this special 2 years of Sportspiel episode. We've got plenty more to come in the near future, so do follow us on all our social media channels. We are on Facebook, we're on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn. We also have a YouTube channel, but if you follow us there, you can find out all the latest news for the podcast. We'll share our stories, share our articles, share our episodes, and you can also stay tuned on what we've got coming up in the near future, because of course it's a big summer of sport coming up, well, particularly on the women's side as well, because we have a Netball World Cup, and of course we have a Football World Cup coming up as well, so expect plenty in that regard. But until then, until next time, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and we will be seeing you very soon.